Heartbreaking main theme from Schindler's List by John Williams, performed by violinist Nicola Benedetti. Only 25 years old, and she's already recorded 7 albums as a soloist. She started playing violin at the age of 4, and at 16, she won the BBC Young Musician of the Year competition. Her new album is called The Silver Violin, features music from films. It also includes the Violin Concerto in D by composer Erich Wolfgang Korngold. Nicola Benedetti, great to see you again. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Why the silver violin? Why the title? Silver screen? Is that what it was about?
The silver screen, yes.
Yeah, that was the idea?
Yes.
And the concept is interesting because it's while Schindler's List is known and popular, there's a lot of stuff on here that people might not be familiar with.
Right. The concept from the album really grew from Korngold, not just his amazing violin concerto, but his whole output of work and his life story, which is so fascinating. And I was really taken by that story and wanted to sort of mirror it in the concept of an album. But it was a question of me picking repertoire that was either written for a film or used in films. So there are some standard classical compositions that film directors have chosen to feature within the film, something I wish there would be more of, with such an enormous body of wonderful classical music that would, I think, complement film very much. But it was a real sort of concept project and a fascinating journey for me to venture down.
And are you a big fan of the movies? I guess you like to go, and that both film music and movies are important to you.
Right. I mean, they are. I love film very much, and I never have nearly enough time to see everything I would like to see, and watching films on the plane does not count.
No,
which
it doesn't.
Is usually the only time that I have to really switch off and actually watch a film. But those tiny screens, they don't quite suffice. But it was very important for me that every single piece on this disc was a standalone musical statement. It didn't need to rely on the screen, I tried to pick each piece with that in mind.
I love it because, you know, there was a time when film music was not really accepted in the concert hall, and even to a certain degree, more ominously, certain film composers were not taken seriously as the other composers.
Still sometimes be the case.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think now is a fascinating time. I think if you speak to young composers, they will say it's more of a mix of opportunity of what is acceptable to write. You have more exposure than ever to all different kinds of music, all different traditions of music writing. And I think young composers are trying to take from that mix and create a new sound. I mean, it's been a long history of composers, the beginning of the 20th century, really making the decision and questioning whether music was written for themselves, for an elite public, for the people, for what medium did classical and instrumental music really fit into. And I think that question was one that plagued a lot of European composers, and Korngold was one of the few to really take the plunge, go to Hollywood, and was enticed back again and again through very lucrative deals. And he proved to be wonderful at that style, managing to maintain all of his integrity and expertise and everything that he had picked up from what was a musical hothouse in Vienna and Salzburg, and really combine that with something he felt was telling the story of film. But it's now, I think, is a more diverse time.
Well, and he certainly went back and forth. I mean, great, great film scores, and then writing for the concert hall. And if he wrote nothing else in the concert hall than the violin concerto that's on your album, it would be outstanding. I've heard this piece many times, especially live. Mm. What is it for you when you play the Korngold Violin Concerto? What is it that attracts you to this work?
Well, I think there's always, from an instrumentalist's perspective, there's always many different aspects that come into play when you're assessing your enjoyment or love of a piece. There can be a very physical aspect to playing a piece. How does that style of composition and those technical choices fit with your physicality and with your style of playing? For me, one of the greatest and most enjoyable qualities is the lusciousness of the melodies. From the harmonic choices to just the pace of the melodies, you really have a chance to sing and get deep into the soul of your sound, and that's something that I look for in every piece that I play. It's probably my favorite moments up on stage. At the same time, the second movement of the concerto is really like a dream. It's totally awe-inspiring, and I'm really transported every time I perform that movement. The last movement is just so uplifting and fun. And I think that's also... I think that kind of positivity, there is drama in the concerto, but it never turns to that real weighty kind of dark drama that is in a lot of other violin concertos. So to have a violin concerto that is so uplifting and positive is quite a refreshing change, actually.
And it's no surprise when you hear the Korngold Violin Concerto that he wrote all these great film scores, because somehow it sounds like a movie score to me. I'm curious, when you're playing it, is there a movie in your head? Are you just thinking B flat F? A? Is it just the notes? Are you underscoring the audience? Where is your head when you're playing a work like that?
Neither of those particularly. I'm not. I'm not a very visual person with music. I don't need to see colors or to depict a scenario or view some beautiful scenery or anything like that in my mind. I think music brings out in me the most extreme emotions that I'm going through at that point in time, and quite often I'm overwhelmed on stage by the strength of the music. I think there are few things we're exposed to in this life that can touch upon such profound depth within you and bring it out of you, and it's difficult to articulate. It's difficult to fully sort of specify what it is that you're feeling at the time, but you know that it's bringing out your deepest feelings. And my experience of playing music that I truly love and have an affinity with, and Korngold Concerto is absolutely one of those, is more that. It's really nothing specific at all.
I'm Elliot Forrest, in for Leonard Lopate. My guest is Nicola Benedetti, a violinist. Her new album, The Silver Violin. You know, I started thinking about all the great violinists that I've known who have been represented in film or worked in film. And, you know, Joshua Bell and the Red Violin. Itzhak Perlman did the original Schindler's List. Isaac Stern, I think, played on Fiddler on the Roof. Heifetz was in. I'm just wondering, what is that? Is there a connection between the violin and violinists in movies that is maybe stronger than some of the other instruments?
I think a lot of people consider the violin to be one of the closest instruments to the voice. Obviously, the necessity of it in film is that there are no words, so you're able to still have that intense emotion that comes through voice, but without the restrictions of words and being dictated what the story is by those words. So I definitely feel that the violin is able to do that more strongly and in a more sort of diverse way with its range and its ability to mimic all sorts of sounds. But then again, I would say that because I'm a violinist. So.
It's what you play.
Yes.
If people trying to reconcile this obviously Italian last name and this somewhat Scottish voice, mother was Scottish, father was Italian?
My mother's half Italian also. Father is Italian, yeah.
And you were born and raised where?
In Scotland. My mother came to Scotland when she was 3 years old, and my dad when he was 10 years old. So they were both raised in Scotland primarily, and they feel quite Scottish, actually.
And were they musical?
Absolutely not. unfortunately, they. I think they're musical people. I think there was lots of potential, as I feel that way about practically everybody. But it's just they had no opportunity to learn instruments or to be exposed to any kind of appreciation for classical music or that sort of artistic culture. It wasn't really a part of their upbringing, and not ours either. Until we began playing the violin, albeit at the age of 4, so it was pretty early. But my sister had seen somebody play, just decided she loved the look and sound of the violin, and begged and begged and begged until my mum finally gave in. But it was very, from then on, it was a case of us introducing them to an entire world of classical music.
Did your sister keep up with it?
She still plays, yes.
She does still play, because you showed quite an affinity for this instrument very early on.
Right. Well, I cried in my first lesson. Did not like that at all. I'm left-handed and wanted to hold the violin the other way around.
Yeah.
Just couldn't get my head around it. But from then on, no, I really took to the instrument, as did my sister. But she was 8 when she started. And that's, a lot of people would say that's a little bit old to begin to play the violin.
Way too old.
Way too old.
I don't know what she was thinking.
Passed it by that age.
Give it up.
Yeah. No, but I guess we both actually progressed really quite quickly. We took to the instrument well.
Was there a moment in which you sort of realized, this is going to be my whole life, I'm going to do this the rest of my life?
No, but there was no moment when I considered anything other than that. There was one moment when my mother, I didn't want to practice, and she actually said to me, you know, you don't have to play the violin. Nobody's making you. And I've never... I don't think up until that point in my life had I been so hurt by somebody saying something to me ever. And I was just so confused by the prospect of the violin not being a major part of my life. And now I don't remember life before the violin.
You studied at a very early age with Yehudi Menuhin, one of the great violinists of the 20th century, went to his school.
Yes.
What was that experience like for you?
Well, I didn't actually study with him. I had a few, I would say maybe 5 or 6 rehearsals and lessons with him. He conducted a double concerto, Bach double concerto, with myself and a colleague. I was 11 and she was 13.
Wait, I just have to pause for a moment. That you had a colleague when you were 11.
All right, no, that was wrong. my school friend. I don't know why I used the word
colleague. No, it's good.
So we actually did some performances with him, and I was due to continue to study with him and to play Bach A Minor Concerto, to go to his home to have extensive lessons. He passed away 3 weeks before that took place, an event that shook the school hugely. But I had, of course, the privilege of studying at that school. There's only 60 students there, and all between the ages of 8 and 18, so every class is extremely small and very intense and specialised, and we would typically practice up to 5 hours a day there. So it was a perfect sort of training environment to be immersed in a culture sort of my family didn't really know very much about. So I really just,
And you were asked to play it as a memorial.
Yes, that was at Westminster Abbey. That was a hugely heavy event, and
especially for an 11-year-old, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember that. I will remember that for the rest of my life, with the royal family standing right next to us and so many people. It's an enormous place to play, I think I really found out what nerves were for the first time on that day.
You're doing some teaching as well right now, is that right?
Always. Not in any one specific, I don't have specific students, but I've had a continued affiliation with an organization in Scotland called Sistema Scotland, inspired by El Sistema in Venezuela.
Sure.
That's been going for the last 5 years. I've been involved for the last 4 years, and I do a lot of master classes. And this year, for the first time in Scotland, I held a workshop, a 3-day workshop, ranging from, you know, our highest level students in Scotland, and doing an intense sort of training with them, and then a much more inclusive workshop with hundreds of young children. I had the chance to play with them and do a little performance for them and for all of their family and friends. So something I'm really dedicated to.
You're in your mid-20s. You're working with these young people. People in classical music always talking about attracting new listeners and holding an audience. Give us your wisdom. How is that really done?
How do we attract new audiences?
Yeah.
That's a huge question. I mean, I'm not one that thinks there is an issue with our current audience of classical music. I'm not one to say that, you know, things have to change and we have to reinvent things. And I think we have an incredible, dedicated, worldwide audience for classical music. And it's a music form that is so necessary and important. It will last forever.
I want to give a little moment to hear you play from your new album. I've been speaking with violinist Nicola Benedetti. Her latest album is called The Silver Violin. We're going out with the Coir and Gold Violin Concerto, or part of it. You can also listen to a recording of Nicola Benedetti playing in the green space on our show page at wnyc.org when you came in for WQXR. Thank you so much. Great to see you
again.
Thank
you so much for having me. Thanks.